are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October the 20th, an episode 120-something of the Locked On Pistons podcast since the last Pistons game. Don't say that I never gave you anything. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast on his last legs, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for spreading the word. If you're a little bit familiar with the show, you know that I've revealed that on Monday nights I'm playing tennis now, so I get home and I'm a little bit lightheaded, so we're kind of just going to do some unscripted shows. But thankfully for you guys, there will be some order to today's show. First, we're going to talk Christian Wood, but for the most part, it's going to be one of those Brother Brian takeovers. He does the legwork for us on days like today, and we really appreciate it. Almost Legends is back today with a former first-round pick of the Joe Dumars era who turned into a really good player, just not for the Detroit Pistons. And then later on, Brian's going to share the Tom Gorris story. I'm sure you've at least heard about it at this point, about the company that he owns, a little bit problematic, especially during these times of tumult here in the NBA in the United States of America as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, but let's get into it today. Again, unscripted, but just kind of going off the top of my head and what was being discussed on Pistons Twitter. Just to let you behind the curtain here a little bit, sometimes when deciding what to do on some of these shows, and again, 120-something episodes of this show since the Pistons last played in the middle of March, so that's kind of where my head's at on a lot of this stuff at this point, but Christian Wood, and I didn't do my due diligence in examining exactly what happened, but apparently there may have been an Instagram story that he put out, something like that, where he said to the fans, like, give me ideas of where to play next. And this kind of turned some of our friends and some of the folks that we like and respect on Pistons Twitter to kind of to go off with it. And why wouldn't you, right? There's nothing else to talk about. And if you're a big NBA fan or a big supporter of the Detroit Pistons, these mountains get turned into molehills, or moleholes get turned into mountains. I guess you're mixing up my molehill analogies here. But Christian Wood has the right to go wherever he wants to go. He has the right to enjoy the fact that he's an unrestricted free agent at the peak of his career so far at this point. He has earned that. We don't begrudge him for, you know, a lot of the same stuff. Remember when Andre Drummond before last season did the interview in Cleveland, or was it Cleveland? No, I think it was back in his hometown, back in Connecticut somewhere, where he was saying, I get to be a free agent. I'm going to be the number one free agent next year. So a lot of us took that as he's probably going to opt out, and that he's looking to maybe leave Detroit. So we made something into that, as we would. Like, why wouldn't we when it's middle of the off season? A couple of the deans of Pistons Twitter, Jordan out there, Pistons Thoughts, who we like, of course, and have had him on the show and look forward to having him on the show again. And then Joe Truck, another guy we like on Pistons Twitter as well, who we'll have on the show down the road as well, kind of took opposite sides of it, right? The hot take on either side. And again, not criticizing these guys, because what else are we going to talk about at this point? But Joe kind of saying, maybe it's all right, you know, that Christian Wood leaves, and Jordan taking the other side of it, that, you know, Christian, don't go, and all that stuff. And I don't begrudge either of those opinions, either of those takes, because we got to have takes. How would Twitter be interesting without it? But there's validity to both sides of it, right? And I hate to both sides everything, but certainly the Pistons haven't had a whole lot of success with young talent, and we're hopeful on some of these guys on the roster right now. But Christian Wood, outside of Sekou, provides maybe the most upside out of any of these guys. There's a world that exists where Christian Wood becomes an all-star down the road, maybe in a weak Eastern Conference, and the Pistons were the team that gave him a chance. Now, the fact that the Pistons were able to offer playing time in a roster spot because of the dire straits of their franchise. That plays a part in it, of course, and it wasn't going to happen right now in New Orleans, wasn't going to happen right now in Milwaukee as well. So the Pistons offered that opportunity. Dwayne Casey slow played it. I know a lot of you guys were criticizing Dwayne Casey throughout the first half of the season, and I was taking up for him in this scenario, saying that, you know, Christian Wood's had issues in the past. He's got to prove that he's over some of these issues to earn that playing time. I might have been right. You guys might have been right. Maybe it's somewhere in between. But the fact of the matter is that us as Pistons fans and us as the fan base took a little bit of ownership, took a little bit of he's our guy, because we saw this whole thing cultivate. We went through the Joe Johnson training camp stuff to the point where he's a 20-10 guy, you know, and albeit in meaningless games at the end of what turned out to be the end of the season, getting big minutes, starting for the Pistons, playing against Rudy Gobert, playing against Joel Embiid, playing pretty well in those games as well. And now, just to kind of reset the Christian Wood situation, he's an unrestricted free agent right now at age 24, and the Pistons have his early bird rights, which means at a maximum, the Pistons can sign him for whatever they want because they have the cap space and they have the room to do it. But to sign him under his early bird rights provisions, that has to be a contract that could be the maximum for the first year of the average of the player salaries around the NBA. So that's the maximum. And it's a right around $9, $10 million for that first season. Now, you can't like backload a contract with huge raises at the end. There is a maximum amount of raises that you can give per season. I think it might be something like 12.5%. Just like if you're going to go front load a contract, you can go ascending or descending with the amount per year. But you can't just say, hey, we're going to give you $10 million so we can get you under the early bird and then give you $20 million in year two. You can't do that. Also, this contract has to be at least a two-year deal and no longer than a four-year deal, although you can make this two-year deal a one-plus-one, like a player option in year two. So all that to say, best case scenario for the Pistons is they find out whatever that number is, offer him that in year one, try to lock him up for 4 years, make it a 1+3 or a 1+1, and keep, you know, make it as much of a player option kind of friendly deal as possible. That way they can lock him up, and then the significance of having the early bird rights and signing him to that deal is that you can go up to the cap with the rest of your moves, and the $10 million or so that Christian Wood is under your on your books, only the league minimum counts against your salary caps. So you're essentially getting about $8 million of free cap room if you sign this very friendly deal. Now, from Christian Wood's perspective, maybe a team like Charlotte, maybe a team like the New York Knicks throws a contract offer of $12+ million at you, and do you want to take a discount to go back to the Pistons and give them a better financial situation for their part, or do you not really care? Or if the Pistons say, yeah, we still like you, we still want you, we'll go to $13 million a year, now that's fine, and you're taking them into your cap room, and now that early bird rights provision is thrown out the door. So hopefully I explained that as well as possible, given my state of being right now as your host of the Locked On Pistons podcast. And then there's the sign and trade, right? That's probably the compromise. If Christian Wood, and this is something that all the parties have to agree to, so Christian Wood has to find a team that doesn't have the cap room to bring him into the fold, and has to have his, you know, himself and his agent agree to this, and the other team has to agree to this, to the deal that they're going to sign him to, and then the Pistons have to agree to it too. And of course the Pistons are going to want something coming back to them, whether it's a big contract with a draft pick attached to it, or something like that, or a combination of minimum contracts with that draft pick attached, something like that. So that is kind of the compromise, where the Pistons get something out of it, Christian Wood goes to a contending team, and everyone's happy. So that's the Christian Wood situation. Let's try not to freak out about everything on social media, but sure, why not freak out about everything too? Probably better that than some of the other things that we could be freaking out in the world about. So that's my Christian Wood take. It was long-winded. It was very kind of all over the place, and I hope you guys appreciate it. Speaking of not long-winded, we're going to let Brother Brian tell us about Aaron Aflalo next in the Almost Legend series. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about the best website out there for your car needs. That's rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same damn parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I use this product every week about an hour or so before I hit the tennis courts because I spend a day on the computer at work and now I need to get that energy back. That's my wall that I bust through. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do, and it gets you through your wall, whether it's the mental or physical wall. Break through it with Built Go every day. Easy to take in the 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the best work presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They got three delicious flavors as well: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. How does Built Go work so well? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. I have stomach problems with these kind of things or weird foods. This is not that. It's not a weird food, and it's fine for your stomach. I'm telling you. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. They got the beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine as well. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong. Get the B6, get the B12, 10,000% of your daily percentage of B12. That's so much B12. Guys, believe me, collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Not 10,000%, just 20%. I'll try to work on a better deal. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Yes, sir!
This former Piston draft pick only played 2 seasons for the Pistons out of his 11 total in the league. And while he never made an All-Star team, he made almost $60 million as a player. He also has what may be the longest and most reverential call-out in any song, let alone by a rap icon on this week's Pistons Almost Legend.
I used to be jealous of him and to follow. I used to be jealous of him and to follow. He was the one to follow. He was the only leader foreseeing brighter tomorrows. He would live in the gym. We was living in sorrow. Total envy of him. He made his dream become a reality, actually making it possible to swim. His way up out of Compton with furthermore to accomplish. Graduate with honors, a sponsor of basketball scholars. It's 2004 and I'm watching him score 30.
As fellow Centennial High School alum Kendrick Lamar noted, Aaron Aflalo was a hardworking and very talented high school athlete in Los Angeles and led Centennial to a California High School Division III title. Coming out of high school, Rivals.com rated him a 5-star recruit and he decided to go to his hometown school, UCLA. While at UCLA, Aflalo helped lead the team to the national championship game in 2006, where the Bruins lost to Florida. The following season, Aflalo's junior year, he was named the Pac-10 Player of the Year, averaging over 17 points per game. Back in the tournament, his UCLA team once again lost to eventual champion Florida, this time in the Final Four. For his efforts, Aflalo was awarded the West Region's Most Outstanding Player Award. Forgoing his senior year, Aflalo entered the 2007 draft. GM Joe Dumars selected him with the 27th pick, 12 spots below Rodney Stuckey, whom the Pistons selected at 15. Aaron played 2 seasons for the Pistons, but was caught in a logjam for minutes behind Rip Hamilton. He was always a hard worker on the defensive end, and that really became his calling card, as he explained what kept him going on that end to JTV Sports.
Pride and effort. You know, I take great pride in trying to stop my man. You know, and it's what the team asking me sometimes. So you have to have a will and a want to do that.
And after two productive but limited seasons, the Pistons traded him to the Denver Nuggets for a second-round draft pick in a deal that was mainly motivated by the Pistons trying to clear up cap space after signing Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva that offseason. He started right away in Denver with former Piston teammate Chauncey Billups and saw his career blossom. His third and final season in Denver, for the time being, averaged over 15 points, shooting 40% from three. That offseason, he was dealt to Orlando in a four-team trade that involved names like Dwight Howard, Andrew Bynum, and Nikola Vucevic. His 2 years in Orlando were his best individual years, scoring over 18 points a night and shooting 43% from three his second year with the Magic. Aflalo would be traded back to Denver after that year before finishing his career with short stints in Portland, New York, and back in Orlando to finish off an impressive 11-year career in 2018. Since retiring, Aflalo has been busy heading an investment group that was in talks earlier this year to acquire the Minnesota Timberwolves. Though not currently the reported frontrunners for the Glenn Taylor-owned franchise, it shows that the drive that Kendrick Lamar saw he had in high school is still there, as his ability to dream big, and that makes him a Pistons almost legend.
I used to be jealous of him and to follow.
Kendrick, I am still jealous of Aaron Aflalo, but a nice little career that he carved out for himself. I think it's one of the more underrated. We all talk about the Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva signings, but the minor deals like that to unload Aaron Aflalo and Walter Sharp to the Denver Nuggets for a second-round pick 2 years later that ended up being Vernon Macklin. But it's a throwaway, basically. It's a clearing out of the cap just to try to get as much cap room as possible, and it's kind of a cautionary tale when you think about the Pistons' past and the cap space that they have coming up this year as well. You know, the Fred VanVleet smells a lot like Ben Gordon to me, and I'm not saying they're particularly similar type of players, but just guy who has had a couple, like a really nice postseason 2 years ago and then kind of a nice postseason this year, although he flamed out at the end of the Boston series. But it does smell a lot like Ben Gordon to me. I know that Ben Gordon was such a big disaster in Detroit that it's unfair to put that on Fred VanVleet or whatever free agents they go out and sign. But it's just more recognition to me that you need to hold on to these young pieces these days, if you're the Pistons at this point in the rebuild, and not go after the quick fixes of those free agents, those VanVleet type of players that could be out there, but you don't want to give up a guy who's at the bottom of his value and then go sign a guy who's at the top of his value. That's just not the way to play the stock market, as I understand it. However, I am not a finance expert. But thanks again to Brother Brian for the Almost Legend series. We're putting him to work again in the next segment with an explainer on the Tom Gora's situation with the prison industrial complex and that controversy that maybe you've heard a little bit about, but Brian's going to spell it out for us. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
With racial injustice being one of the top stories in 2020, there is a renewed call on Pistons owner Tom Gorris to divest from an acquisition he made a few years ago. We thought we would lay out the facts of this story and allow you to make a decision on what you think Gorris, the Pistons, and the NBA should do, if anything, to address this situation. In 2017, Gorris' Beverly Hills-based investment firm, Platinum Equity, acquired Securus Technologies, a suburban Dallas-based telecommunication company, for $1.6 billion. Securus is the nation's second-largest prison telecommunication company by market share. It serves over 3,400 correctional facilities in the United States. Securus brings in over $700 million in annual revenue, and according to the LA Times, they handled over 240 million calls from inmates in 2018. A 2018 Prison Policy Initiative report of over 2,000 local jails, Securus was charging some of the highest rates, with 226 of the 250 most expensive jails being serviced by Securus. Long a controversial topic because of prison populations having a disproportionate minority makeup, critics are claiming that Securus is disproportionately taking advantage of prison populations by overcharging for calls or fees inside the system set up for inmates to fund their communications outside of the facility. A hotly debated issue and feeling public pressure, the Federal Communications Commission's in 2013 capped charges at 21 cents per minute for interstate calls, but did little to address the fees for things such as adding money to an account. Platinum Equity has argued that by replacing top management and reforms at the telecom have dropped rates more than 14% in recent years to an average of less than 15 cents per minute, even signing a contract with the state of Illinois to charge inmates less than a penny per minute for interstate calls. Gores claims that his investment wasn't predicated on calling rates, as they were already declining when he made the acquisition, and that he was more interested in other technologies that the firm offered, namely Securus's computer tablets that allow users to make video calls, take classes, consume entertainment, and look for employment. But the changes are not happening quickly enough for some, and they argue that calls at some facilities are still outrageously high, as well as profiting off of additional fees. After being a leader in raising money for his hometown Flint's water crisis, the shrewd decision to move the Pistons back downtown, Gores has been celebrated for his commitment to Detroit and for his philanthropic ventures, which made him an unlikely buyer for Securus. Gores said that he knew the risk of public backlash when acquiring the telecom, but didn't expect the blowback to be as big as it has been. He told the LA Times last year that he saw the company as a solid business and that he could work as an agent of change on the social issues surrounding the prison industrial complex, saying he didn't expect things to be this much work, but sometimes things land with you and you got to make the difference. Because of nationwide protests in light of perceived injustices by law enforcement towards minority communities, there has been a renewed vigor from activists who either want to see Gores divest from Securus or to sell the Pistons. Because of the pressure from activists, earlier this month, Gores resigned from his role on the Board of Trustees for the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, and in his resignation letter, Gores pledged 100% of his personal interest in Securus will go to reform issues, writing, "We didn't know when we acquired Securus that it would become a nexus for addressing the political, social, racial, and economic issues roiling America today. But now that we are here, we will not shy away from the hard work ahead."
Brother Brian coming through with the TikTok on what is going on with the Tom Gores situation. I wanted to throw out a tweet out there from Stan Van Gundy. He was asked about this on Twitter. And to find this tweet from October 9th, which I remember that I had favorited, but I checked out Stan Van Gundy's tweets and replies. I want to, if you're into it, and I know it's a tough time for Twitter and America and politics, but Stan Van Gundy is rolling in the proverbial shit with the Trump people. If you enjoy that, I don't know. I'm kind of torn because it is what it is at this point. But Stan Van Gundy, I mean, he seems to love it. And it's funny to me. He is rolling in the mud with the Trump supporters and like going back at them, and it's very enjoyable. I enjoyed this this little trip down Stan Van Gundy's brain. But someone threw the story at him about Tom Gores and the prison situation, and Zobert Rieger, you know, just some random Twitter person, threw it at him. And Stan Van Gundy says this. He says, "I saw the story, asked questions of Platinum Equity, and did more research. Remember, they fired me, so I have no reason to be biased toward them, but they are trying to fix the problem from the inside. There are lots of state contracts that complicate things. I will follow up," end quote. We will follow up as well on that story and kind of keep advancing it and see what Tom Gores does to help the situation. And as Brian and I are going to talk about this on Fridays with Brian later this week. But there's a lot of strange things out there in billionaires' portfolios, as we all know, right? Story of my life. But certainly we can't wave this off as it's nothing, but I'm not ready to throw Tom Gores under the bus completely for this. It would be a lot easier to back Tom Gores if he was a good owner and his teams won, because then we'd want to stick up for him in situations like these. Of course, that is not the case right now, but we're going to try to put that aside, and we will discuss this further. If you are someone who has some thoughts on this, either way, or some insight, some things we don't know about the situation, and you want to jump on and talk to us about it, get in touch with me, or you can call the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Leave your name and a voicemail. Tell us where you live and what you think, and we'll give you some time to get it off your chest. 810-666-1546. But again, highly recommend Stan Van Gundy's Twitter feed, and highly recommend giving Brother Brian a follow on Twitter at BShook12. That guy is coming through big time for us, keeping the show afloat during the 120 or some odd episodes that we've done since the Detroit Pistons have played basketball in March. We are now less than a month till the draft, so actual stuff to be talking about as we continue the draft series that will happen this week as well. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.